The Gemara tells us that Chana is the essence of tefillah, of prayer. We learn many of the dinim, the laws of prayer, from Chana herself. The fact that she davened, she prayed with her lips moving, but without a sound coming, this teaches us, this is the origin of the law, that during Shemona Esrei, the Amida, the silent prayer, it is forbidden for a person to allow his voice to be heard. During the Shemona Esrei, a person must be completely silent, where even he himself cannot hear his own voice. But to have his mouth closed and just read as he would Lahavdil magazine, this too is worthless. The lips must move, and yet no sound should come from them. This is the perfection of tefillah according to din. And this is what Chana did. There's an entire section of Gemara based upon the laws of tefillah, which are learned from Chana. Note, it would seem embarrassing. Tefillah, a shul, is made for men. Women are relegated to the side with a curtain to separate them, to hide them. And yet when it comes to tefillah, we find that it was Chana who taught all men, not ordinary men, but the great rabbis in later generations, how to daven. It's very important to include here a word, an item, that would illustrate this so much more strongly. We know that the Tzaddik Emes, the holiest Tzaddik that exists, has the greatest power of prayer, of tefillah. How can we bring a better example than Rabbeinu Zal himself? Rabbeinu Zal, who is one of the, let us say, minimize his greatness, one of the greatest tzaddikim of all time since creation. At least one of the greatest. Now at that time, one of his closest students was feeling very badly because his child, a very young child, was lying in the crib, extremely ill, and there was the suspicion that the child may pass away. His wife cried to him, "You have a source of help. Why don't you go to Rabbeinu Zal and ask him to be mispala for us? Surely his tefillah will help." His answer was, "I go to Rabbeinu Zal only for spiritual assistance. I'm afraid to bother him for a thing which is physical." And she cried, "A child is physical? A life of a Jew is physical? How can you even think that?" So he said, "Fine. You're right, I'll go." He came to Rabbeinu Zal, he cried before him, told Rabbeinu Zal that his child was very deadly ill. Rabbeinu Zal said, "I know." Rabbeinu Zal had the power of nevuah, of prophecy, he could see everything that went on around. He said, "I know, I checked in heaven, and I found that the prognosis of your child is negative, meaning the child must die. I cannot help you. I can only tell you what the result is." This Talmud went back to his wife, and he told her, "I went to Rabbeinu Zal. Rabbeinu Zal knows what the heavenly court has decided. He told me it's too late. This is the heavenly decision." So she said, "Why should I wait until tomorrow to cry over my child after he passes away? Let me use that power of tears now." And she sat down by the crib, and she poured out her heart the entire night, crying to Hashem, screaming to Hashem for help. The next morning, the student came to Rabbeinu Zal, brokenheartedly. Rabbeinu Zal greeted him with a smile. And he said to him, "You never can tell the power of a woman's tefillah, because I saw the case in heaven. Now, not only did they rip up the gzera, the decree against the child, but they issued a new one. He'll get better, completely cured, but he'll also lead a very, very long life." He was granted Arichas Yamim. And this child did live close to 100 years old. This is an example, compared to the contemporary time, of the power of tefillah in a woman. That's how we can understand why we learn from Chana the laws of tefillah.